Do want to announce very quickly that tomorrow, next Sunday, Resurrection Day, Sunday school is going to be at 9 o'clock and worship service at 10 o'clock. Make sure and put that on your calendar. And also, for anyone that wasn't here this morning to hear that announcement, or they're not here tonight, please contact them if you will. Hate for them to show up if they don't come to Sunday school, on a regular basis. Anyway, if they show up at regular worship service, they'll be showing up at 11 o'clock and we'll be finishing. So just want to, don't want anybody to get embarrassed or feel left out, and so forth like that. I mean, don't want no feelings hurt over something like that. So let's be mindful. Call them, let them know, and tell them the times on that. Be praying for next week as well, and so forth, for the messages to be preached. Pray that lost people will come in so that they can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. No better time to get saved than on Resurrection Day, amen? Oh my, we serve a risen Savior. Out there in this world, folks are just following false gods and so forth. And those gods that they're following they'll die for those gods. I mean, you take those Muslims, they'll die for Muhammad. And they'll kill for Muhammad. But they're serving a dead God. You and I, we serve a living Savior. And I praise God over that. I praise Him over that. All right. As I get started here, like I said, I want to try to keep it short tonight on the preaching, so I'll preach kind of fast. I want a lot of scripture. I'll turn there fast, or I've already got the scripture written down, one or the other. So if you're taking notes, please, try to bear with me on this. And so I'm going to have to pack quite a bit into this message in order to preach what the Spirit of God has laid on my heart to preach. I don't get up here and try to preach a message that Mike Overman likes or that I want to do. All right? That's called preaching in the flesh. And I can't stand that. I want to preach what thus saith the Lord. I want to preach what the Spirit of God has laid on my heart to preach, the very scriptures that He has laid on my heart to preach, and that's what I intend to expound upon, you see. And so please bear with me here as we turn in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, let me say this as you're turning there, in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, you ain't got to turn there, but you write it down, look at it later, I'll read it to you. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of what? But of hearing the words of the Lord." That's what's wrong with America today. That's where our churches stand at today, all across America. We have a famine of hearing God's word. We don't have a famine of having a Bible. There's Bibles in every home across America, lost and saved alike. But we have a famine of hearing what the word of God says. Dr. Vance Havner said long ago, he said, "Missionaries tell us that sometimes chimpanzees imitate them by gathering wood and even arranging it for a fire, but they do not know how to produce the fire." Ain't that something? We're creatures of habit. We can learn to do things. We can learn to come to church. But my friend, sometimes, where's the fire? What's the purpose? Who are we honoring, you see? Why are we here, you see? The church has her wood in excellent order today. Most of them. The system that they have is perfect, but they have no fire. They have no fire. And the fire comes from the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, heeding to the Word of God, loving the Word of God, and preaching the Word of God, you see. So such was the sad plight of six of the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, to which our Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Ephesus. Ephesus was loveless. That's what they were. Jesus said, "Thou hast left thy first love." Well, Ephesus was loveless and didn't know it. Sometimes we get into a problem. We get into a rut. We get away from God. We don't even know it. We think, oh, well, we'll put up our hands and we'll say, we want to do the will of God. We want to do the will of God for my family. We want to do the will of God for my church. And we'll think, well, just because we say that automatically it's going to fall in place. Well, it takes a lot of prayer in order to get that. And it takes obedience to the scriptures, what God says. Did you know we can spout all day and say, well, I want the will of God done, and we can be going against God at the same time? Yeah, thinking we're doing what God says. You can turn away the Spirit of God just as well as you receive and welcome Him, you see. Smyrna was infiltrated with imposters and didn't know it. In Revelation 2:19, it says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Our churches are infiltrated with lost people, with the tares of this world, my friend. Pergamos, it was off with doctrine, and they tolerated and compromised the sharp sword with two edges, which is the Word of God. And they didn't know it. They thought, well, we've got the Word of God. We're still reading from it. We're still trying to preach from it. But they didn't realize that they had compromised and the doctrine of God, and they tolerated sin. Thyatira listened to and allowed false teachers to seduce the people and lead them to sin. And they didn't know it. Oh, we're serving God. But they were committing all kinds of vile sins and thought they were all right. Sardis was a lifeless church and didn't know it. Philadelphia is the only church that God did not, that the Lord Jesus Christ did not have anything against. Why? Because He said, thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. He didn't have anything bad to say about Philadelphia. Laodicean church, though, on the other hand, the time that we live in now, was lukewarm and didn't know it. Revelation 3:17, thou sayest. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ said, they're saying it, the people in the church. Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not, this is what Jesus said, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. See, they said, thou sayest, God did, and knowest not. That's a descriptive altogether too many churches today. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Lord, Holy One, come down. That's what the song says, isn't it? I firmly believe that before we can be pleasing to God, before we can do anything with lasting results for God, before we can to have our lives right in order with Christ as the head, and we putting our bodies into subjection to Him, we must have our hearts right. You heard the old saying, that's the heart of the problem. Well, that's where it comes from the Bible. Jesus warns us over and over through the Bible that we got to have the right heart. The heart must be right. We must have the right conditioned heart. We must exercise our heart spiritually to fight the good fight of faith. In this Christian fight, we don't give up. We don't back up. But we get up and we stay up. And no retreat in this war, my friend. With Jesus as our chief cornerstone, I firmly believe that after we are born again, that we are to have a true and lasting spiritual growth and to start building a good, solid foundation for Christ, we must give our heart to God with no pretenses, no play acting, no half-heartedness, no fakeness, no half-hearted surrender, but to give all our heart to Him. That's what Christ wants from us. The heart. A few questions tonight I have to ask you. How's your heart tonight? Where is your heart tonight? Yes, you're sitting here in the physical body. But is your heart somewhere else? planning for tomorrow, planning for this week. See, is the mind on something else instead of Christ? We must give this time, and it's vital when we come in church to be able to come and worship the Lord. And worship is giving our hearts steadfastly toward Him, our thoughts toward Him while we're here. Putting everything else aside, be it family members, be it places to go, whatever it is, put it aside and take a few moments of time to worship Christ Jesus, to give Him honor. Who or what has first place in your heart tonight? And I said what? Because sometimes it's not a who that has first place in our hearts. It can be a what. It could be our jobs. It could be our school. It could be all kinds of different things that this world has to offer up and shoves in our face. And it takes place. It takes first place in our life above Christ, you say. When and how often do you examine your heart? When is the last time that you had a heart-to-heart examination with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? When? You say, well, I'll get around it one day, preacher. Today is not today. Now is not the right time. What better time than at the moment? Settle everything right now in your heart and examine it tonight. Scripture has a lot to say about our heart. The word heart is mentioned 821 times in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for everything you've done for us. Father, I thank you. I praise you, dear Lord. Oh, we serve a living Savior. Oh, God, thank you for that. Because you live, we too, as born-again Christians, shall have everlasting life. Lord, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your Scriptures. Thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit of God that moves us. Oh God, move us tonight. And we thank you and we love you, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Proverbs 23:6, "My son, give me thine heart." Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Let me tell you, everything, every thought comes right from the heart. Every thought, everything you do, everything you commit, everything you don't commit, my friend, starts in the heart. Your service for Christ, your love for Christ starts in the heart, my friend. That's where its beginning is. So how's your number one, how's your heart tonight? First, let us establish two facts about the heart, yours and mine. Here's what the Bible says about it in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Here's what God says about your heart and my heart. And He's absolutely correct. And if you disagree with it, bring it up with God. Here's what He says. "The heart is deceitful above all things." Amen? "And desperately wicked." Amen? Who can know it? God can. Verse 10, "I, the Lord," look at that. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." God knows your heart. He knows the intent of it. And He knows that our hearts are desperately wicked, you see. And it's deceitful above all things. If we're honest before God, I think this is a very accurate description of our heart. Charles Spurgeon said this, "There is nothing one half so worthy of abhorrence as the human heart. God spares from all eyes but His own that awful sight a human heart. Oh, you may get away with things. You may do things nobody else knows about it. You may be sitting there with the darkest and coldest heart there ever is. And you think nobody knows it, but God knows it. It's in His sight, you see. He goes on to say, and could you and I but see our heart, we should be driven mad. So horrible would be the sight. And I agree and I say amen to that. Because I know how deceitful my heart and how desperately wicked it can be. My friend, everyone has some sort of a heart problem. I don't care who we are. We need to guard and protect our hearts. How? Psalms 119 verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. That's how we guard and protect our hearts. Psalms 119 verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. We get away from God and we get in trouble when we wander from God, don't we? God must have first place in our hearts. The preeminence, Colossians 1:18 says, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. How does He have the preeminence, I ask you tonight? Psalms 119 verse 11 gives us the answer. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. That's how He has the preeminence. Hide His word in your heart. Put it in there so we don't sin against Him, you see. Well, the soul and the heart of man was designed for the habitation of God and for the dwelling of God and not for any other God. And not for any other thing. God is a jealous God, is He not? Exodus 20 verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 5 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting. Notice, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. See, if He doesn't have first and the preeminence in our heart, it's as if we hate God. Verse 6 says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Let me say this, a careless heart is an easy prey to Satan, my friend. We walk around daily without hiding God's word in our heart, don't we? And that just sets us up as easy prey for the devil, you see. We walk around unguarded from this world and from the devil. We don't guard our eyes. We don't guard our mind. We don't guard our ears. And we certainly don't guard our heart like we ought to, you see. Oh, let me tell you something. If Satan wins the heart, yeah, you listen to me, Christian. I ain't talking about losing your salvation. A person that's saved has eternal security. But they can give place to the devil. Yep. And if Satan wins the heart, he wins all the heart. Some people like to play the little game. Oh, let's just see how much sin I can get away with. Let me just see how long I can go and how far I can go without putting Christ first in my life and loving Him with all my heart, mind, and soul. Let me just see how far I can get away from Him. You see. Careless heart is an easy prey to Satan. How easy the conquest of a neglected heart. The person who takes no heed to their own heart and who is not careful to order it aright before God is but a hypocrite, the Bible says. They are play acting. Turn with me, if you will, Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, two verses of scripture there. Ezekiel 33, verse 31 and 30, three scriptures. Verse 31, and they come unto me as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. Read with me, please. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but the heart is far from me. Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. One verse of scripture there. Mark 7 and verse 6. The Bible says, and he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. It is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but the heart is far from me. The heart lies open and common like a highway, free for all passing by, where when the seed fell on the ground, the fowls came and devoured it. You'll find that in Mark chapter 4. It's not enough. Let me say this. It is not enough to hear unless we take heed on how we hear. A man may pray and never be any better unless he watches unto prayer. That means how he keeps his heart. A man may read through the whole Bible and never be better unless he allows the Bible to read him and he take a heed to allow the Bible to absorb and work and set up residence in his heart. I know people today, graduates of Bible schools and so forth, even the PBI. I know some of them today. They brag about, I read through the Bible every 3 months. That's four times a year, from Genesis to Revelation. Well, that's wonderful. But how much have you let the Bible read you? How much of it meant anything? Did you just read it through like a little storybook? The Word of God is more precious than that, my friend. We need to stop and take heed and let it absorb into our hearts, you see. Take it in. Let it set up there. Let it work. Do a work in our heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. Secondly, when and how often do you examine your heart? The heart is a central part of you. The heart will tell on you. The heart will tell on you. We need to do a heart examination of ourselves. What place is God? What place does he have in our hearts? Return with me, if you will, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. The Bible says, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Oh, they're going to try to trick Jesus here. They're going to try to trip him up. They're going to put a test to him here. They think, oh, he's going to brag on them somewhat, maybe. He's going to tell them what they want to hear. But notice what he says in verse 29, and Jesus answered them, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. Examining the heart. Do we dare to look into the depths of our heart tonight? See, the reason why we try not to look at our heart too closely, because it becomes like looking into a mirror. It hurts to look at it if it's dark and wicked. It hurts to look into it when God does not hold first place, when something else is set up in place on our heart. But if we continue to neglect and disregard the sin of our heart, then we will only grow harder and colder and distant from and toward God and everyone else. You know, some of the most bitterest people in the world today is a born-again Christian that failed to examine their heart and got backslidden on God. Bitterness anger, complacency will take root and take up residency in the heart. Is that what you want to replace? God being first place in your heart? I'd rather have Christ first place myself than have the bitterness and the hatred and the complacency and the anger and all those things that come along with it. A lot of time, instead of examining our hearts, we just want to justify ourselves, to make excuses for ourselves, to blame others. It's everybody else's fault, not ourselves, when we ought to be examining ourselves. Luke chapter 16, verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So we get to thinking, oh, I'm so good. Oh, I'm not doing too bad. Well, no problems are going on drastically right now. And surely I must be serving God. Okay, he must be pleased with me. I'm going to church when the doors are open. And yet, deep down, if we was to examine ourselves, do we really believe what God's word says? Do we really esteem him high? Does he first place? Has he got the preeminence in our hearts? Have we examined ourselves? Have we tried to justify ourselves before men? God says that's an abomination in sight of God. And number three, how do we condition our heart in order to have a heart where God has first place and God is pleased with our heart? Psalms 119, verse 2, you write that one down, it says, "Seek God with the whole heart." Psalms 119, verse 7, the more we realize how righteous God is, and admit to him how unrighteous we are, then we will praise him with uprightness of heart. Psalms 119, verse 11, put God's word in our heart, you see. We must hide God's word in our heart that we may not sin against him. My friend, the heart of the problem, the issues of the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's what our Bible says. That's what God says. And if you want to live a good life, a life that is pleasing unto the Lord, one that is honorable to the Lord, examine your heart. And realize our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. And when we get that mindful of everything, and we fall on our face before God and say, "Lord, you're right. My heart is deceitful above all things. My heart is desperately wicked. I've talked against you, O God. I've not praised you like I ought to. I've talked against your people, and I shouldn't have done that." All those things, it's darkness in the heart. But Lord, I want to get things right because I want to keep things right. And most of all, in order to keep things right, I must keep you first in my heart. That's what we need to be praying. All heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. The Bible says, search me, O God. God does search the heart. He tries the reins. Search me, O God. Let him search you tonight. Let him search every deep, dark crevice of your heart tonight. And put him first and foremost upon your heart, the throne of your heart tonight. If there's any idol or anything else that's taking the place of first place of Christ there, now's the time to put it right. Order it aright.